Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister. Jason, I found a joke for you. It's a very small genre of jokes. It's a dad tech joke.
Oh, Jesus. Well, you're in the right place.
I know. That's why I brought it here. Here we go. I was walking down the street where the houses were numbered 64K, 128K, 256K, 512K, and 1 megabyte. That was a real trip down memory lane.
Oh, God.
Come on. That's good.
No, it's not. That would bad.
I love it. My son doesn't get
you
that.
You would.
Someday.
Okay.
So I saw this article last night as I was finishing up Picard, which I'm sure we'll get to later.
Yes.
But I was scanning through during a commercial break because I don't mind not paying the extra couple bucks for the Paramount Plus to get the commercials, because that gives me an opportunity, well, to go refill wine or things like that nature.
Okay.
So I don't mind. But I saw this and I thought about you and, well, I and the show, because we've talked about this sort of thing a long time. You know, it's the old adage, if you can't do it, teach. But it's more insidious than that. It's something we've always talked about. It's people that jump on the gravy train early, right?
Yes.
Something will pop up and they manage to make a bunch of money doing it. And then once everybody catches on to the grift and the bullshit, you can't make money doing it anymore. So what do, Jason?
You teach them how to grift.
You open up a store and teach them how to grift.
Brian, that was episode one of this show.
We're
595 episodes in, and we're back to the beginning. Time becomes
nothing
a loop.
Changes, Jason. Time becomes a loop.
Oh, God.
So the influencer grift has matured to its final form now. Yes, there is an entire phalanx. Lots of people, lots of ex-influencers out now getting rich by teaching you how to become an influencer to get rich.
Yeah. I read this article. I read most of this article. I skimmed some of it. Some of it was pretty good. Some of it was just like, made my head hurt. But the thing about this is, yes, there are a lot of people making money on online courses. Mm-hmm. I get that. And now people are making money teaching people how to make money making online courses, which I swear to God, we did. This is just deja vu.
Yeah.
Now, I tried to make an online course with my podcasting stuff during the lockdown. And the one thing that I wish I had was actually a good course on how to make an online course. So they are actually useful at some point. But when everybody's giving you a course on how to make a course, it becomes a little noisy and stupid.
Yes.
But I mean, I wish that these – I worked with Teachable a bit to get my course out there, and they were pathetic at trying to teach me how to make a course. And, you know, they held my hand. They held my hand until they got my checks. And once they got my checks, they're like – and I didn't get anybody to sign up for my, you know, my pre-sale, which they told me I had to do. I had to do the videos. I had to do all this shit. And when nobody signs up, this was their reply. They're like, yeah, sometimes people just don't want what you're selling. Like, fuck you. Fuck you and your fucking eye holes.
Well, they're not wrong.
No, they're not. They're not wrong, but the hype that they give you until they get your $1,000 check is just ridiculous.
Well,
the ego stroking.
Jason, think of all the podcast houses that came to us with the promises of the moon and the sun and the stars.
Yeah. Yeah, here we are still in the basement.
Yep.
It's funny, too. I was listening to the Accidental Tech podcast, which launched like almost exactly the same time we did. They have fewer episodes than we do by far, but in a 10x audience as well than we do. But
interesting.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have that going on. But anyway, I don't feel so bad about asking people to go to patreon.com/GOG and sign up to help keep us on the air, because even they are doing the same thing. Everybody is out hat in hand right now with the podcast stuff. So,
advertising models collapsed. We all know that.
Yes, we've lost lots of advertisers so far this year, and it's only March. Great. So, patreon.com/GOG. Anyway, so just so we don't have to go out and start selling courses on how to do a podcast, you know, because that obviously isn't going to work.
At least you've got one in the can if we need it.
Yeah, seriously. or what you can do right now is go write a book on ChatGPT, which is the new craze. And
all right.
Because if you do a search for ChatGPT on Amazon, of course, there is the ChatGPT Millionaire and the GPT-4 Millionaire, the future of business. And I love this. Making money online has never been this easy, from Neil Dagger. But I love this. How much does his book cost? $0. Well, how's that work for you, Neil? I don't get that.
He's raking it in.
Yes, he is. He's, you know what he's going to do? He's going to make money at scale. He's going to scale up. That's right. How he's going to do it. So after I read your article and then I found the you know, the GPT grifters on Amazon, I'm like, let's go to ChatGPT and ask it a question now that I have access to GPT-4. And I said, can you give me some terms for these snake oil salesmen that are peddling AI? And it gave me a ton of them. And I just had to keep going and going and going. So here's some of the top ones. Sleaze bot strategists, chatter fraud connoisseurs, deceit bot dealers. I do love the alliteration, by the way. It's doing pretty good with that. Although then we get to duplicitech whisperers, shady chatsmiths. And my favorite, though, so far definitely is bamboozle brokers. I think
that's
a
good one.
I think that's a good one. There's a bunch of other ones, but yeah. We need new terms for these people. Talkbot tricksters is okay.
I don't artificial know. We can ingrates. Always just go back with the original. Go back to Mel Brooks himself. Bullshit artists.
Yep, we got that one. So now that I am on ChatGPT with GPT-4, since I you know am a ChatGPT Plus subscriber, I asked this time, have you ever heard of Jason DeFilippo? Because ChatGPT originally, in its original form, had no idea who I was.
Right.
But it kind of could give us a breakdown of Grumpy Old Geeks.
Yes.
So here's – this is great. So I'm going to get to a point here. Yes, I'm familiar with Jason DeFilippo. He is a web developer, technology consultant, and podcast producer. Jason has an extensive background in web development and has worked on projects for high-profile clients such as Microsoft, Adobe, and MTV. Additionally, he's been involved in podcasting since the early days of the medium, producing and hosting shows like The Cyber Jungle and Grumpy Old Geeks. Grumpy Old Geeks is a podcast he co-hosts with Brian Schulmeister, where they discuss technology, internet culture, and the impact of these on society. Jason DeFilippo has also contributed to the field of podcasting with his technical expertise, helping to develop podcast hosting and distribution platforms.
Wow.
No.
You've been busy doing stuff that you haven't told me about.
Yeah, especially working for Microsoft, Adobe, and MTV. None of which I ever have. I've worked for every major motion picture studio, but I've never worked for those guys at all.
I bet it pulled Microsoft from me because I have.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yep. So I gave it the thumbs down. I went through and I'm like, let's see how this works. So I gave it the thumbs down and I said, yeah, Jason has never worked for Microsoft, Adobe, or MTV. So then it gave me the option of, hey, okay, so that was the problem. How's this new answer? Is this new answer better? Is the old answer better? Or neither answer is better? Or skip this step. So it gave me a new answer. Here's the new answer. Yes, Jason DeFilippo is a podcast producer and web developer known for his work in the podcasting industry. He's been involved with podcast production since the early days of the medium and has produced several popular podcasts. Jason is also the co-founder of Grumpy Old Geeks, a podcast that discusses technology, the internet, and related topics. Throughout his career, he has worked with a variety of notable podcasters and has helped shape the industry. Okay, closer.
Yep.
But the reason I put this in here is I can change the results on ChatGPT by just giving a thumbs down and changing the answer, which then will become public for the rest of the people who search on ChatGPT.
Yes. With no oversight.
None. Have at it, people.
Yep.
Go for it. Go for it. We have no Wikipedians to police these results. So by all means, fucking have at it.
Well, like we said from the beginning, that is the biggest problem with this. It is self-learning from bullshit. It is itself a giant bullshit artist. It goes back to the earliest days of computing. Garbage in, garbage out.
Chat BA. There we go.
In the news.
Okay, so Amazon has said that you guys got to come back to the office. And they said, we don't want to.
Yeah.
Which we've seen happen over and over again. So Beth Galetti, mm-hmm. Amazon's SVP of People Experience and Technology, mm-hmm. aka pet. HR. Yes, the pet, because you are pets to Amazon. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And sometimes you have to sleep outside and sometimes you have to come in the house.
Sometimes you got to piss in a bottle.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, wait, that's not for the white collar workers. That's just for the drivers who aren't actually technically employees.
No, and the warehouse workers too. Don't forget them. Yeah. They everybody gets to pee in a bottle unless you wear a white collar. So they said that you have to start coming back to the office 3 times a week starting in mm-hmm. May. Okay. 30,000 people filled out a petition that said we don't wanna.
I don't know. 3 times a week seems fair to me. I like the hybrid model. Yeah. Hybrid model is 100% fair.
Yeah. And here's some of the replies. They started a new Slack channel to bitch and moan about it. Mm-hmm. I'm collapsing here. I'm sorry. I feel like a total failure. Come in and work. Do as you're told. I'm crying as my family prepares a meal. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't even understand.
I don't
that.
Get it.
Come in and work. Do as you're told. Yes, it's a fucking job.
Yeah, you get paid. That's the point. You get a paycheck. Yeah.
You
show
come in.
Fucking work.
You work and you do as you're told.
And you get 2 days to work from home.
Yes.
Jeez.
Just do Christy. A hybrid model. Hybrid models are fair. I'm sorry. It is fair.
Here's another one. I recovered from alcoholism by working from home, and now I don't know.
Well, you must be the only person that went that direction. Most people I know became alcoholics from work from home.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can recover from alcoholism any way you want. If you have a job that is making you an alcoholic, then you might want to find another job. As somebody who's an alcoholic,
I would argue a lot harder to drink on the job while in an office than at home.
Yeah, as a current recovering alcoholic, I'm fine with Zoom. I have met hundreds of people now in the past. I'm 86 days sober, by the way.
Congratulations!
In my hundreds of meetings that I've taken,
haven't had to go into an office. That might have all gone by the wayside.
I have done in-person meetings. It's easier than 3 times a week. I go twice a week and I'm sober. It's great. Hundreds of meetings though I've done on Zoom since that time. And almost everybody I've met got sober on Zoom. You can do it. You don't have to. You can still get a job. You can still go to work. These are stupid arguments. I'm crying as my family prepares a meal. How does your family pay for that meal? Oh, by you going to work.
Well, more importantly, where did you go buy the elements to go purchase? Where did you go purchase the stuff to make that meal? Well, thank God they went into the office.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I'm sorry. People. This is a white collar problem. This is a privileged person problem, this work from home thing. Again, I'm 100% opposed to the arbitrarily deciding that everybody has to go back to work to an office full time. That's bullshit. We have proven you don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. But hybrid, 100% fair. Stop 100% fucking fair. Whining. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's got different circumstances. I know it's hard with 30,000 people bitching and moaning that they don't want to go. But you know what? I don't want to go to work every day. I'm standing here doing this. I don't want to get up and come
in. I don't
want to
be doing
shit.
This podcast.
Yeah.
If I had a choice, yeah. I'd be sitting on the couch reading right now.
Yeah. If we could get paid for just doing that.
Yeah.
Sure. That's fine.
It's cool.
I mean, yes, I could be. And I could be being a total shit about this, but 30,000 people, seriously? I mean,
and these are, I mean, I'm not going to, I don't know everybody's specific circumstances, but these are highly paid professionals at Amazon in general.
No that shit.
Talking
that's
about
what,
here.
That's what I'm saying.
Warehouse workers have had to go to work. Drivers have had to go to work. The vast majority of the workforce that actually pays your bills, that makes the money that actually goes to your paycheck, Amazon people that are bitching about this, they've had to go to work even during the pandemic.
Those Uber drivers that take you to the office that you don't want to go to, they have to go to work. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. We've been too nice for the past decade with these goddamn tech workers. And I know I was there. I was one of the little coddled bitches, you know? And, you know, it's time to put your big boy pants on and seriously, just get back to work.
Yeah. Considering all the layoffs going on, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, speaking of layoffs, someone that Elon Musk laid off at Twitter decided to leak a huge chunk of the source code on GitHub, and nobody noticed for months.
I mean, it's funny because mm-hmm. we like to crap on Elon and what he's done to Twitter. and you know, it's good for a chuckle. Boy, is that illegal.
So illegal.
Boy, is that a dick move.
And here's what I really love. The username on GitHub that the person used, free speech enthusiast.
Okay, that's that was very funny.
That's pretty fucking funny. Come on.
You're still
going to
end up in jail, free speech enthusiast, but high five.
Yeah, good one. Good one.
Good one on your way to jail. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yes, apparently, they've never heard of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act over
there. No, I guess not. You know, we've talked about that multiple times on this show about our policies, both you and I, about what we do when we lose a client or we get fired by someone or we leave a situation. We keep our hands effing clean.
Yes. Turn over every single credential. Make sure, test it, that they changed your passwords. Do not give them any loophole to come after you in the future. This is just technology 101.
Yep.
And what you don't do is you don't steal a huge chunk of the source code and put it on GitHub where they track you.
Yes.
So, oh, Jesus. So, yeah, somebody's going to have a bad day because, yes, a U.S. District Court up in Northern California has given permission for Twitter to get the information from GitHub to go after this person.
Of course they have.
Yes.
Because there's law.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I 15 years ago, you could get away with this shit. Nowadays, no.
Everything's tracked. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, seriously, everything is tracked. And here's another fun one. And I love they rolled this into the same article. Twitter has launched verified organizations. Mm-hmm. So it's another way for Elon to get a few bucks back. The program will reportedly cost $1,000 a month and you get a gold check mark.
Oh,
yay.
My. We're getting all the colors of the rainbow on Twitter now.
Yeah. And another $50 per verified user under that organization.
Wow. Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter, actually, like almost every all news organizations are basically coming out and saying we will not be purchasing blue checks for our reporters. We will not be purchasing blue checks for our employees because they've become meaningless.
Absolutely meaningless. Now it just shows that you're a sucker.
Yep.
That's it. And now that is in place, Elon says that on your For You tab. Mm-hmm. Which is the one that everybody fucking hates.
Yeah, because it's basically Elon Musk and a bunch of right-wing fucknuts.
And people who paid to have their account verified now. It's only going to show verified accounts. Yeah, that's it. So
the Venn diagram of those two overlap, Jason.
yes, they do. Yes, they do. So, that's going. And now, this last bit is kind of funny. William Shatner got a little butthurt because he had to pay $8 a month to maintain his check mark.
Yep.
And Elon responded with, "There shouldn't be a different standard for celebrities, in my opinion." Oh my God, you hypocritical piece of shit.
Unlike the different standard he has set for himself, he changed the entire code base to promote his own tweets.
I know. I know. And then the platformer came out and said, ahem, you guys have always had VIP access for celebrities. And here's just a few of them. So, yeah. Oh, my God. But it's kind of sad. You know, William Shatner, first he was snubbed by Bezos. Now he's being snubbed by Elon Musk. You know, what did poor William Shatner do to deserve all this? And
the
then
man is in his 90s. Let him be. Let him be the Shat. Let the Shat be the Shat.
Let the Shat scat.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was just thinking, though, you know, he was kind of a dick most of his life. So maybe
I guess it's karmic payback.
Yeah. It is kind of karmic payback. I'm like, if you talk to anybody, like William Shatner, once he hit 80, kind of turned okay.
He mellowed out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But from 0 to 79.9, he was kind of a dick. So
just ask George Takei. Yeah.
Or anybody else that's ever worked with him, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, well. Microsoft is reportedly going to focus on two completely different things, in my opinion. Mm. Security and AI.
Woo!
I don't think those are compatible in the next version of Windows. Okay. That's just me. So they're working on a new modern version of Windows with better security and faster updates. This initiative called Core PC will allow Windows to scale better for different devices while still supporting legacy apps just as well as their products always have, I'm sure. they're also reportedly working on a version of Core PC to rival Apple Silicon which the iPhone maker began shipping in new Macs more than 2 years ago. Their silicon-optimized variant would enhance the operating system's performance capabilities when tied to specific hardware, like their own, of course. And they're going to bake AI into the project. Its plans include an artificial intelligence to analyze on-screen content and provide appropriate contextual cues.
Oh, that's going to go over
Boy,
well.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, let's look at everything you're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
You know, I mean, even, what is it, in my old Xbox, you could not even, if you had your own file, the video file that you wanted to play, didn't matter what it was, mm-hmm. could have been a video of your dogs that you wanted to play on your TV. You could not load that onto your Xbox and actually play it without the Xbox being connected to the internet so it could do the copyright checks on it to make sure that you weren't doing something nefarious. So
with the,
imagine
with the thing that you purchased yourself with your own money and that you own.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. So imagine what that's going to be like when the entire operating system is doing that. I mean, Jesus, look at the backlash that Apple got when they were just trying to get rid of kiddie porn.
Yep.
This is everything. They want the AI to look at everything you do. Who thought this was a good idea? Who thought this was a good idea?
Yeah.
Another great idea, since we've got, you know, BingBot now, mm-hmm. who is – well – they're trying to monetize that already. So they're putting ads into the results that you get back from BingBot. Come on. Come on. give it at least a little bit of breathing room. Jesus.
Great.
It's not like they're hurting for cash.
No. Microsoft's fine. We don't need to do that. You should not.
They're First trying to off, make back that $10 billion they just gave to OpenAI.
I suppose they are, yeah. In more AI use, Google has unveiled AI-powered planning tools to help beat climate change extreme heat. So this will basically push extreme weather alerts to users in affected locations, providing helpful, easy-to-understand information about the event through the search page, whether through it's a winter storm warning, flood advisory, tornado warning, or what have you. They've added extreme heat alerts to that list, Googling details on the event, like, is it fucking hot? Is it just me? We'll return everything from the predicted start and end dates of the heat wave to medical issues to be aware of, such as dying, and how to mitigate their impacts, such as get the fuck inside where there's air conditioning if you can afford it, you rich bitch.
Yep.
The company is partnering with the Global Heat Health Information Network, GNG, to ensure that the information provided is both accurate and applicable.
That's the sound you make as your house catches fire and you're burned to death. GNG!
Yeah. So I was thinking, like, couldn't you actually maybe point that AI at how to stop climate change instead of just warning us?
Brian.
Oh, wait. We know how to stop climate change.
Yeah.
We just
don't do it. You make money with the medicine, not the cure. So,
right.
You know, don't forget that.
The one thing I did kind of thought was interesting, but again, what the fuck does AI have to do with any of it? Google has developed Tree Canopy, a feature within the company's Environmental Insights Explorer app, which combines AI and aerial imagery so cities can understand their current tree coverage. I think just the aerial imagery covers that.
Okay.
Just me. You can kind of see where the trees are and where they aren't from the photos themselves.
Tree or not, the new
tree
app.
Tree or not.
Oh, God,
this stuff is so fucking dumb. I can't believe we talk about this every week. All right,
I know. Thanks. 10 years. We're still back to the same fucking starting spot. Oh, God.
Tree or not.
Oh, Jesus. Well, speaking of climate change.
It's good to laugh as you're going over the fucking edge. And
trust me, man. If you can't find humor in it, what's the fucking point? Scientists have created the world's lightest paint. In just 3 pounds, can cover a Boeing 747. Okay, great. Researchers have developed a new energy-saving paint that repels heat, comes in any color, and should last centuries. It's also the lightest... Never mind. I'm stopping there. Okay. I just want to... A for effort. 100% A for effort. But Jesus fucking Christ, do we need more shit that's going to last for centuries? Can we get some paint that's
okay.
Light and biodegrades, please?
Also, unintended consequences are going to come calling on this. Oops, we discovered it causes cancer.
Yeah, and it's everywhere and it lasts forever.
And we've put it everywhere and it lasts forever and you can't scrape it off.
Yeah. Jesus.
I mean, I love this. This is great. This is what science is great at. I do like this. I like the idea. I don't necessarily, yeah, lasting forever, not a great idea.
Brought to you by Monsanto.
Yes. Ooh, I painted my house Agent Orange.
Great band. Bad color.
And then I saw this one, which... oh, boy. Here we go. Tech leaders and AI experts demand a six-month pause on out-of-control AI experiments. An open letter signed by tech leaders and prominent AI researchers has called for AI labs and companies to immediately pause their work. Signatories like Steve Wozniak and Elon Musk agree risks warrant a minimum six-month break from producing technology beyond GPT-4 to enjoy existing AI systems, allowing people to adjust and ensure they are benefiting everyone.
Okay, where do we start?
I'll let you dive in.
Okay, well, Steve Wozniak doesn't have any place in the modern tech, you know, conversation. I'm sorry, he's done. He's busy playing Segway polo, and he's got an online course, you know. So, Steve, go be Steve. I love you. Big hugs, but yeah, come on. Elon, you hypocritical piece of shit.
Yeah.
to start with. I'm sorry, OpenAI, who was one of the founding members of OpenAI?
Also, you know what would be a good idea to have a six-month pause on? Tesla self-driving.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So actually longer than that, maybe, because
20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. Let's keep it 20 years, rolling 20 years. This is ridiculous. And, you know, it comes back to, A, it's a dumb idea. B, it's a dumb idea. C, it's a game. It's a, you know, a play for a lot of people to say, oh, the 6 months, we can catch up in 6 months. We can figure out
That's what a lot of it feels like, yes.
Yeah. And a lot of these signatures have turned out to be fake, by the way. And this is just, it's a mess and it's stupid. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, there's a great piece about it called "A Misleading Open Letter About Sci-Fi AI Dangers Ignores the Real Risk" from the AI Snake Oil newsletter, which I highly recommend signing up for. It's a really good newsletter. It's right up our alley. Yeah, and they had it breaks down the arguments that the letter makes and how it all of it makes no sense and is stupid. So go check that out. It's worth a read. And definitely sign up for AI Snake Oil. It's a great newsletter. Italy, on the other hand, has said, no, we don't want your chat GPT in our country now, too. So they are saying that they want a moratorium on chat GPT and all AI for Italian citizens.
Okay.
And they're coming back with saying, you know, there's problems here with GDPR.
Yes,
and
there are.
Where did you get this information? How does it know about these people? What's going on? It is the black box problem. So it's going to be interesting how this is going to play out over Europe, because OpenAI does not have any like business presence in the EU or anything like that. So basically they've opened the door for every single country in the EU to come after them and say, hey, you know, what's the problem going on here? And this is going to be...
You can get away with that silly accent because your last name's DeFilippo.
I'm Italian, yes. I can do that. Yeah. But, oh God, you want to hear some bad Italian accents. Wait till, I think April 10th is when the Labors of Hercule will come out that I mentioned I was going on last week. We had a blast, by the way.
Oh, good.
Adam and Frankie are awesome. We had so much fun. It was so much fun. We talked for like an hour and a half. Hopefully they will edit it down some, but since the episode that we talked about was only 45 minutes, but that's how that kind of thing goes. But anyway, lots of bad Italian accents on that one. This is just going to happen over and over again. And we're at the beginning of, I want to say this kind of tech backlash. We have a lot to thank Bitcoin for right now in cryptocurrencies.
Yep.
Because everybody saw how that got out of hand, because everybody's like, this is the greatest thing. Oh, shit. There goes the economy. Now people are trying to get out in front of it when all these big, you know, tech leapfrogs and technology come about. So I see this as an ongoing issue, not just the open letters, but actual governments who don't know what the fuck they're talking about getting involved. I'm sure including our own.
Yeah. I would argue not just Bitcoin, Metaverse. Also, one of the reasons that we're having this tech backlash right now, we saw, you know, Mark Zuckerberg pour billions of dollars of companies basically trying to ram Metaverse down our throats. NFTs,
Oh yeah,
all the NFTs as well. Let's not forget the blockchain. So many things just shoved down our throats that nobody wants, that don't get adopted, that just billions upon billions of dollars were squandered on. Fortunes were made, classes were made. you know, it's just continues. And you know, you and I called the metaverse dead on arrival. Then it took a long time for people to catch up with us. And it's finally started to come around to the fact that, yes, it's dead. Even Disney has reportedly shut down its metaverse division now. All 50 or so team members as part of a broader restructuring process have been laid off. So no more metaverse for Disney because they've smelled it on the wind. Nobody cares. Nobody wants it. How about you just make what you do now better?
Better.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Well, you know what they're going to do? They took all those people, the 50 people that were on that team, moved them over to the Hall of Presidents AI division. So now you can go have a conversation with Abe Lincoln and Richard Nixon when you go to the Hall of Presidents. That's what
I have such fond memories of that as a child.
Yeah, as a child. As an adult, it's like, this is worse than Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. So dancing back over to crypto giant Binance has been charged with violating U.S. trading and derivatives laws. I haven't busted this one out for a while, Jason. Here it comes. Shocking.
Had that one pent up for a while.
The company supposedly offered unregistered crypto derivatives, didn't ask users for mandatory identity verification, structured itself to avoid U.S. regulations, and even told customers how to dodge its own compliance system for U.S.-based customers.
Oops.
The founder, Changpeng Zhao, directed much of the rule-breaking himself.
Reportedly
chats and emails as evidence. Among other things, he purportedly encouraged American users to mass trades through a VPN and even create new accounts through shell companies.
Wow.
Yeah, this is all going well.
I wonder if Sam Bankman-Fried's parents have an extra room for this guy to hang out while they're waiting trial.
And then more big companies doing bad. Google has been found to have violated an order to save chat evidence in the Epic antitrust case. So they basically found out that Google said, don't ask, don't tell about all their employees keeping all the messages that they were ordered by law to keep for the trial. You want to delete them? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nobody cares. Oh, wait, people care? Oh, shit, we're in trouble?
Oh shit. And what I love is that we know that nothing ever gets deleted, ever. So,
you think about this and you go, okay, surely this is just a bunch of mid-level Google employees that are trying to, you know, save their own bacon and just, you know, I don't want to get dragged into this. No, not so much. In 2021, Google CEO Sundar Pichai allegedly wrote, also, we can change the setting of this group to history off. And then he attempted to delete that message a few seconds later.
Oh, dear. Google employees also reportedly switch off chat histories when discussing topics such as revenue sharing and mobile app distribution agreements, as well as a project that involves changing commission rates for Google Play. Oh.
You would think that a company that sucks in every single bit of data about us and doesn't let us delete it would know better.
Nah. This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. Now, on this show, we talk a lot about how much of our personal info is out there. We're talking about home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. And if you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're not alone. That's why I want to tell you about Delete Me. It's a game changer for protecting your personal information. As someone who's been through the ringer with spam calls and phishing attempts, finding Delete Me felt like a breath of fresh air. Could your potential views expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence in this election year? The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. Angry individuals, motivated by their political beliefs, can now easily access personal details from data brokers for 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment and identity theft. Fortunately, you can safeguard your data with Delete Me.
Delete Me scours the internet, finding and removing you and your family's personal data from hundreds of data broker websites. And they don't just do it once, they monitor your information to ensure that it stays private. I signed up and provided the specifics on what I wanted to go, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me in the loop with regular updates, showing exactly where my info was popping up and confirming when it was removed. Seeing how dedicated they are to protecting my privacy is a relief. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now available at a special discount for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. One more time, that's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout. This episode is sponsored by Mood. 420 celebrations come in all shapes and sizes, just like the many ways to enjoy your THC. Mood offers just the right buzz with their federally legal flower, gummies, vapes, and more, helping you find the perfect high. Mood is offering our listeners a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just head over to hellomood.com and use our exclusive code GOG. Mood's latest introduction, the THCA flower, is a game changer, offering the classic cannabis high with a twist. With 10 high-inducing strains, it's their most potent lineup yet. What's even better is that all Mood products are extracted from hemp, making them federally legal, and are regularly tested to ensure the highest quality. Sourced from small family farms, you're getting a product that's effective and pesticide-free. I tried several of their products, from the uplifting Energized to the mellow Chill, and I must say, each provided a unique, enjoyable high. My favorite? Definitely the Creative strain. It sparked an incredible flow of ideas and got me through my daily projects with ease. Whether you're new to THC or a seasoned aficionado, Mood has something for every vibe. Their in-house experts have tailored different strains to match specific moods, offering a range of products to suit any preference. From delectable gummies to classic flower and convenient pre-rolls, there's a multitude of ways to enjoy Mood's offerings. Celebrate 420 exactly how you want to with Mood. Get 20% off your first order, plus a free THCA pre-roll at hellomood.com with promo code GOG. That's hellomood.com. Code GOG. Are you hungry? I am. Which means it's a perfect time to talk about Factor. Why not make your spring a breeze with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals? Picture this. Every meal is fresh, never frozen, crafted by top chefs, and has the dietitian's thumbs up. Plus, they're ready to roll in just 2 minutes. You've got 35 mouthwatering options to choose from each week. Whether you're into calorie smart, keto, ramping up your protein, or keeping it green with vegan and veggie, Factor's got you covered. And there's more. Each week brings over 60 extras, including breakfast, grab-and-go lunches, snacks, and drinks to keep your energy up and your taste buds happy all day. So, what's the holdup? Dive in today and give your spring the tasty kickstart it deserves. As someone who's lived off microwave meals for most of his life, I can confidently say that Factor's chef-crafted dishes blow anything else I've had out of the water. The chicken stays juicy, the veggies are crisp, and the flavors are absolutely delicious. I'm talking about meals like their artichoke and spinach chicken and the spicy poblano beef bowl. Out of this world. Are you craving a touch of gourmet? Well, check out the meals featuring luxury ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. It's fancy dining without the fuss. And speaking of no fuss, the meals are a total breeze. Forget about prepping, cooking, and cleaning. Just heat up your meal and enjoy the deliciousness. Plus, everything's tailored to fit your life. Customize your weekly meal plan to get exactly what you need, whenever you need it. Need to pause or shift your deliveries? No problem. It's all designed to work around your schedule. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/grumpy50 and use code grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code grumpy50 at factormeals.com/grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Everyone needs a world-class VPN. Grumpy Old Geeks recommends private internet access to protect your online privacy and identity. Private internet access never keeps any records of their users' online activities, so you can be assured that you have complete privacy and nobody knows what you're doing online. No matter your technical skills, private internet access is one of the easiest VPN apps out there. All it takes to connect is just one click or tap, and your data will be encrypted instantly. With just one private internet access VPN subscription, you can connect up to 10 devices at the same time. Go to gog.show/VPN and sign up today. For a limited time only, you can get our favorite VPN for just $2.69 a month when you sign up for 2 years. gog.show/VPN. That's gog.show/VPN.
Media Candy.
Brian, on your recommendation, I went and watched The Menu.
All right. What'd you
think?
It was great, right?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, not what I thought.
I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely going to be one thing because it's just like, okay, yeah. Nope, that wasn't it. And basically, the girl from, Queen's Gambit, almost naked the whole time, didn't really hurt.
It doesn't, you know? Doesn't hurt, no.
No, that didn't hurt one bit. What a great little movie. I loved
it. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's not going to change the world or anything, but I mean,
oh, no.
it was immaculately directed, perfectly acted, well-written, smart, and surprising. So
yeah, I loved it. Yeah. I absolutely loved it. Then I watched MH370, The Plane That Disappeared.
Why the fuck did you do that?
Because there was nothing else on.
Wow, that's scraping a barrel, man.
It really was. And I'm just, that's why I'm here to tell you, just don't skip it. Because you know, nobody knows.
They don't know. Have any answers. They don't know.
No, there were some fun conspiracy theories in there and some that were just dumb shit stupid. Yeah, just, oh God, that was a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Then Bert Kreischer has a new special out called Razzle Dazzle. And I've been a Bert Kreischer fan for a long time. And we actually ended up turning this off at the beginning because it was so bad. I went back and tried it again. And it picks up at about 17 minutes, and the last 40 minutes or so are decent.
Okay.
But his shtick is kind of getting a little old, but very old. But Picard, I did catch the latest episode of Picard last night. Mm-hmm. Some more fan service on this one.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. But I have to say that I am still digging it. I'm still digging the shit out of it. I'm just sad it's almost over.
I know. That's the thing. I mean, have you seen the push online to do a Star Trek legacy show?
No.
With the kids, and then the adults will pop in every now and then and give words of wisdom and all that sort of stuff. I don't know. I kind of feel like let's let it go. Let's have a big finale and call it a day. But I'm loving it too. It was a pretty bleak episode. It's always darkest before the dawn, Jason.
Yes, it is.
So, but it was great. It was great. And we get like four more, five more. I don't know.
Is that it? I was thinking we're going to get like two more. So I'm happy with whatever we get.
Yeah.
But the more the merrier, because they got to. But yeah, some of it was, but goddamn, that, what's her name? The captain of the other ship, the changeling chick. Oh my God, she can act. Holy shit, can she act?
Yeah.
She's so good. So good.
We had the 2-episode season finale of The Bad Batch.
I thought you quit that.
No, I've kept it going. Well, I was not going to watch any more than I found out it was the season finale, right? Like a 2-episode season finale. And
if I've been
that far, I might as well finish it up, right? And after I finished watching it, I had to go read the reviews to make sure I'm not crazy. And all the reviews are like, why wasn't the show like this the entire season?
Oh, so
this,
it was good,
this
good
was
ending?
Awesome. Yes. Okay. both episodes were riveting, highly enjoyable, moved the Star Wars universe forward, great cliffhangers. Like, it was really good. I'm like, the whole season sucked, but these 2 episodes are awesome. So there okay. you go. I guess we can wait on Mandalorian until Dave.
of course.
Shrinking also had its season finale, which I think it was like a week and a half ago, actually. And I just getting around to putting it in the show notes now. What a phenomenal feel-good show. If you have not watched it yet, Jason, I highly recommend it. It's just
I got to episode beautiful. 5 and got stuck. Okay. I'm waiting to get the inspiration to get back to it. But I enjoyed it up to that point. But it's just you have to be in a right mood. I think
I agree
type
with that
of show.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Haven't been in that mood yet. So.
Yeah.
I went
back to try to watch Severance again, and I've just decided I'm never going to be in the mood, and I'm
don't
done. So
don't
yeah.
don't. I mean, that's 8 hours you're never going to get back. That's the same thing as the Bad Batch. It's like the last the last half of the last episode was decent, mm-hmm. and the rest of it is just setup that makes it's just not worth the juice ain't worth the squeeze, as they say.
Yep. And finally, watch some Ted Lasso. 2 episodes. I love it. Great show.
Okay.
Great show. I think it's lost a bit of its magic, and I do hope they wrap it up after the end of the season, although I'm hearing rumors they're not going to, but still enjoying it. So
okay. You got to pick up, you got to get to the latest episode, episode 3. It's really good. I think they did lose a little. It kind of peaked and went down a little bit and then came back up for episode 3. So
oh, good. Can't wait. I'll be watching it tonight. It's that show that my wife and I schedule. Like, I'm not allowed to watch it without her. She's not allowed to watch it without me. So we have to time it. Netflix has made a last minute deal to retain Arrested Development streaming rights, because we've been talking about this on and off recently about how scattered everything is and how things are being dropped. And, you know, like some shows, like if Netflix drops Arrested Development completely, the last 2 seasons were only on Netflix, so where would they ever go? Nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
They'd just disappear into the ether. So it's good to see that they're trying to, like, save some of these things, I guess. I don't know what's going to happen with all this stuff.
Yeah, we need a new channel that is just all the shit that's been dropped.
Yeah.
Like, with HBO Max dropping everything left and right, you know, there needs a place for this stuff to live. Maybe just get a bargain basement channel out there that can buy all this stuff, you know, at fire sale prices.
Yeah, we'll see. We got some Star Trek news. Strange New Worlds season 2 will premiere June 15th. So I'm assuming that'll be shortly after Picard ends to keep that subscription going from suckers
of course.
Like me.
Man, me too. Yep.
And it has been announced that they will have a season 3 already. So that's good news. Star Trek Lower Decks will be coming back as well in August for a 4th season and has been greenlit for a 5th season as well.
All right. And Paramount Plus has ordered, I love this, diverse, teen-focused Star Trek Academy or Starfleet Academy series. Hat tip to Adam Spiegelman for this one. He was the first one to send us a note about this.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wesley Crusher is the principal.
Yeah, that's Trader Stavros called it Star Trek Saved by the Bell on Discord. I personally prefer Melrose Space or a Stardate 90210. I got to give a hat tip to our old friend Jeff Koga for Melrose Space. Remember that show Space Above and Beyond from Morgan and Wong back in the day?
Yep.
That was on when we worked when we first met and worked together at Box Top. That's why I remember that when he coined that, because we used to watch that show and come in and talk about it at the office. Space Above and Beyond. It was a decent show, I thought, but it definitely was Melrose Space.
Look, I don't mind the idea of this idea. I like the idea of a Starfleet Academy show that's a bit for younger kids. I like that because, as we discussed, I still don't understand who Star Trek Prodigy is for.
No, I don't either.
And
at all.
Aiming something at younger adults, I think, is first off, it's smart. It'll get kids into Star Trek. And secondly, I'm intrigued by it. I would watch it. I don't like Prodigy, though. I don't get it. So.
Oh, yeah. No, not a fan of that at all. Because I still get confused. I'm like, am I watching Star Wars or am I watching Star Trek? Because the animation styles are so weird. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
I literally got just like universe confusion when I watched it. Succession's back, by the way. I don't know if you watched the first episode.
Also, that is another show that is only watchable when my wife and I schedule combined.
Okay.
So hopefully this weekend I'll be watching the first one.
Yeah, nice to have that back. It is the final season on that one for sure. So toodles on that. Barry is coming back in April. So
I heard for one last season, yeah.
Good. They need to wrap that up because it's getting long in the tooth. But the last season was great. Highly recommend that show. It is definitely different and
all
fun.
Right.
So,
and I've actually been doing my thing where I back off from podcasts a bit and start to listen to music again. And I've been talking with some of my friends. We were bemoaning the fact that the kids don't seem to like the real music anymore, and they're all just doing pop music. Mm-hmm. Found two bands to prove that wrong. Both one I found and one a friend of mine recommended. Mandy Indiana is the first band, and they are not from Indiana or Mandy. Okay. They're from the UK, and actually the singer sings in French. It's industrial French.
Oh, I love that.
It's awesome. They only have a couple songs out there, but totally worth a listen. Really, really good. The other band is called Soft Cult, and it's right in my wheelhouse. Female singer-songwriter, a bit shoegaze, a little bit dark. This is good stuff coming out of these kids. I'm excited.
All right. I will definitely check out Mandy Indiana. I love I don't know why. I just love French vocalists.
Oh, you'll dig it. Fan. You'll dig it. And it's all industrial sounding. It's like great. It's really good.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. And Apple Music Classical has launched. Mm-hmm. And originally I was like, why? Why did you spin this out into its own app? Mm-hmm. Then I actually read the page on that Apple put out, and yeah. It makes a whole lot of sense.
Yes, it does. Classical is its own thing, and it needs its own thing. Yep.
Yep. So you can, if you're an Apple Music subscriber or an Apple One subscriber like I am.
And, I believe I am through you, so I can't you are now check this too. Out.
Yeah, my brother from another mother. I downloaded it and I checked it out this morning, and it's a great interface. I'm definitely in. I just got to make sure it works with my Sonos. Oh, yeah. Here's another thing that pissed me off the other day. One of the other reasons I hate Spotify. I opened one of my favorite Spotify playlists to play on my Sonos in my house when I was cooking yesterday. Mm-hmm. And 80% of the playlist did not exist anymore on Spotify.
Yep.
And here's the thing. Here's the annoying part is that when it would get to a track, I just hit shuffle on the playlist. When it would get to a track that it was not there anymore, it didn't just skip it. It would just stop playing. I'm like, thanks, Spotify. Preach.
But they have an AI bot now you can chat with.
Yeah. Can you play the next song, AI bot, please? Assholes.
Ups and doodads.
I talked about my analog pocket that I got that took a year and several months.
Or something?
No, it is not. Okay. Could be, though. Analog sweatpants
going
pocket.
Going back to an earlier episode where you gave one of those away, I believe.
Oh, man. Yes. It's the Auto Blow 2. Oh, man. this thing is really cool. I love playing Tetris on it. The Tetris movie's coming out, getting mixed reviews, but yeah. I'll review it next week. Looks fun. The thing about it is it plays Game Boy cartridges, but I'm like, okay, well, can I sideload some ROMs onto this thing? And they're like, no, you can't. Well, now you can. some guy named with the account Spiritualized over on GitHub has released a little hack to use the Open Player on there. So I'm going to try that. There's a link in the show notes on how to play ROMs on the Pocket. So I am going to give that a shot this week because this thing is really well built. I love the display. I just love playing Tetris. I mean, it's one of those things that just I could do it for hours. And
it was a big part of my college experience playing Tetris.
Yep. The funny thing about it is it's like you get into that brain mode where it's not even flow. It's kind of like I don't know if you know much about it. I'm sure you do because you took psychology. The default mode network that you activate when you're in the shower and that's where all your ideas come from. If you play Tetris enough, you can access that same mode. And I come up with some of my best ideas when I'm playing Tetris now.
Yes, I've also heard if you play with your analog pocket enough, you can access that zone too.
Yeah, you can do that too. You can do that too.
Might fall off. You go blind.
Go blind. Yeah, Harry Palmer. The other thing about Tetris that another psychology study showed that PTSD, it helps prevent PTSD if you play Tetris before you go to bed after a traumatic event. I thought that was some fascinating research because the way it rewires your brain to stop fixating on the events that happened. And they tested this on military members who had say lost a buddy from an IED that day. And it helped them with PTSD over time, which I thought was just fascinating.
Very cool.
And another blast from the past here, I found the Delphi forums.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember them?
I do.
It's still there. And it looks the same.
Oh, my God, it does.
It looks the same. And it's still active.
Well, they have a responsive design now, Jason.
Oh, okay. But there's a lot of immigration cop forums on there, which I found they're active, like all these ICE people and Border Patrol. This is where they hang out. So if you want to go, you know, troll some immigration cops, head over to Delphi forums.
All right. Well, something that you and I are against is actually finally coming, unfortunately. Apple Pay Later. It took nearly a year, but the system is here. The company has launched Apple Pay Later for U.S. customers in a pre-release version that requires an invitation. If you're included, you can split your online Apple Pay purchases made from an iPhone or iPad into as many as 4 payments spread over 6 weeks. You cannot apply for loans larger than $1,000 and have to link to a debit card, but there are no fees or interest payments, blah, 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 blah. Apple won't share data with third-party marketers. I still think bad idea.
Yeah,
Apple to get into this, but I get they need to get into finance. And let's be honest, if you can actually afford an iPad, you probably don't even need this. So I don't quite get it, but there you are.
Yeah, it's I don't like this. This preys on lower income people. I'm not 100%
agreed. I don't like it.
No. And we
it
got
makes
this
it too
message.
Easy. It just makes it too easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the pay later with the Apple credit card, I avoid. They're like, oh, would you like to spread this over, you know, the next year? With zero interest on your credit card, it still dings your credit card and like takes away the limit. Mm-hmm. And then you just have to pay it over time. It's still like wacky. And even that is, it just gives me the creepy crawlies.
Not a fan.
No. And Dan writes in real quick. Hey guys, just a quick message to share my experience this week. My wife bought a cheap Apple Watch charger from Amazon recently. During the night, there must have been a short in the cable. It set fire to itself, cooked the Apple Watch, and then ignited back up the cable, burning anything in the near vicinity. Good job our smoke alarms were working. The alarm alerted us and woke us up, giving us enough time to put out the fire before it burnt our kitchen down. Lesson learned. Don't buy cheap cables and check your smoke alarms, people. Love the show. All the best, Dan. Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
That's very scary.
You got to be careful with the cables you're purchasing on Amazon. I think we've kind of come to the conclusion that Amazon Basics is actually pretty decent.
No, actually, that was one of the ones that blew up too. We had a story about Amazon Basics USB-C cables actually igniting a while back.
Okay. Yeah. Check the reviews, people.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But speaking of Apple, I did pick up an Apple Magic trackpad this week. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of editing and I'm starting to get a little bit of the old carpal tunnel in my in my mouse hand. So I thought I'd try it out. They're decent. I mean, it's a learning curve for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm getting my gestures down and things like that. And it's definitely helping my arm at night. I don't have to take as many Advil before I go to bed. So
that's a plus.
Yeah. I did have to buy it using all the Apple stock that I sold because I'm going broke. So I think I'm doing the stock market wrong.
Well, you're doing it wrong for you, but you're doing great for me, Jason.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The Dark Side. Ha! With Dave.
Welcome back to The Dark Side with Dave. Dave is the host of the Cyberwire podcast, co-host of the social engineering podcast Hacking Humans with Joe Kerrigan. Dave is also the co-host of Caveat with Ben Yellen, where they discuss law and policy and surveillance and privacy, and the Control Loop podcast, where they discuss ICS and OT. Welcome back, Dave. How you doing? Hello.
Well, thank you for having me back. And I feel like I feel a little bit like Rodney Dangerfield, where it's like, yeah, I feel great now, but I tell you, last week I was in rough shape, you know? Yeah.
Wow. Dangerfield impression was in the back pocket the whole time.
Yeah. Well, who knew? Who knew? Rich Little over here.
Yeah, that's right. I had had food poisoning last weekend. So, so we recorded on Friday like we usually do. Mm-hmm. I went home and my family had ordered pizza.
You got food poisoning from pizza?
Ooh.
Well, it was Pizza Hut pizza.
Oh, well, so, okay, say no more.
So I don't know if you were to call it pizza or not. But so it was pizza and, you know, breadsticks and some kind of brownie dessert kind of thing. They must have had a special or something that somebody clicked on. But everyone else in my family ate it without any trouble and I had almost immediately afterwards, it set me into about 36 hours of not being able to keep anything down, even water.
Oh.
And so I was getting muscle cramps because I was getting dehydrated. And it really made me wish that either I had a loved one or a relative who was a nurse who could give me a IV drip or some kind of home IV kit.
You know, they have delivery for that. They have Uber for IVs. At least they do here
in LA. They do in LA.
Yeah. In LA they do, yeah. No, you can get any kind of IV in your at your house in half an hour or less.
Really?
Including a cocaine IV.
Well, who puts it in, though? Like, who's – because I don't know how to stick a needle in my arm.
Well, they do.
Does a nurse come with it?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Really?
They come with a technician and a bag, and basically, you know, for like $200, you can get all sorts of different IVs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That sounds like such an L.A. kind of thing. Do they?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if they've got it there, but
– Can you buy – I'm just imagining also people sitting in an oxygen bar, you know, that sort of thing. It sounds like the
next to Woody Harrelson.
Right. So anyway, I mean, anyone who's been through that, and most of us have probably been through that, it is no fun. And it's also the anxiety of thinking like, well, I'm really hungry now. I'm going to try to eat something. I feel as though I'm settled. And then, nope, not there yet.
Not good yet.
Not yet. But the weird thing is all throughout – I guess it's not that weird. But all throughout this week I've been – like even through today. So it's a week later and – I don't have any appetite. Like I feel good when I eat and my body goes, hey, yay, you ate something. You're not hungry anymore. But I don't feel like I want to eat at all right now, which I guess is good. I could certainly afford to drop a few pounds, but it's just strange. I feel as though my insides have been through a blender and came out the other side.
Yeah, that is the... probably one of the worst experiences that isn't fatal.
Right.
That one can have with one's body. It really
even
is.
Though when you're in the midst of it, it's you kill me now. Yeah. Yep. Just kill me now.
I've been lucky to only have it twice in my life, but the one time was so bad. And I was living in London at the time. I think it was like 97. So I was like early mid 20s, something like that. With my girlfriend, and we had decided we wanted to celebrate American Thanksgiving. She was vegetarian, but cooked me a turkey, which, very nice. So she obviously did not eat the turkey. So it was only me that got the spewing out both ends 24 hours to 48 hours, had to throw out a rug. Horrible.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Right, that's the other fun part. Will I make it? Will I make it there?
Often no. Well, and you can only point one end at a receptacle at a time, which is also problematic.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Remember that time I talked about it on the show because I was out for a week one time. I bought some prosciutto and put it in the fridge. And then I forgot that I went to Chicago for a week. And when I came back, I grabbed the prosciutto and I gave a piece to the cat. And the cat said, nah, I'm good, which should have been my first tip off. And I wolfed it. And then, I was in bed for 7 days. That's when I watched. I only remember because that was when I watched the entirety of like the first 6 seasons of The Big Bang Theory. And I'm like, I don't know what's worse, the show or the food poisoning.
I still can't
eat prosciutto to this day. No.
Well, trust me, I have no desire for Pizza Hut pizza anytime. Not that it was high on my list of culinary favorites anyway. But the other fun food poisoning story I'll share with you is that when my wife and I got back from our honeymoon, and we are coming up on 30 years this fall, so it was a long time ago.
Yep.
Yeah. So when my wife and I were on our honeymoon, which was we went out to California and drove down the coast and ended up – wait for it, Brian – Disneyland.
Shocking.
I know, right? When we got back from our honeymoon – well, let me back up a little bit. When we went to go on our honeymoon, my wife was deadly ill with food poisoning. And she said, she's like, honey, I don't know if I can get on the plane. I was like, come on, be a trooper. You can do it. She got on the plane. We actually flew into San Francisco. She spent the first 2 days just in the hotel room in San Francisco. And I went out and got plain white rice and stuff to kind of hold her over. So that was that. And she hung in there and she felt better. And, you know, by the time we got to Disneyland, she was in great shape. So that was what mattered most. But when we got home, we learned that we had poisoned the entire wedding party.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Turns out that everyone who had been to the rehearsal dinner except for me had been poisoned. So
this new one was just – yeah, this new one was just payback for that since
right.
we're the only one
right,
who got
exactly.
sick.
Yeah. All my relatives have been biding their time just yeah. waiting for the right moment to sneak in. Yeah. So the original thing we nailed down to being – we're pretty sure it was a Caesar salad at our rehearsal dinner that did everybody in. But yeah, good times. Good
yeah.
times.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I recommend ginger ale and applesauce. That's what got me through.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. That's exactly right. I've been sipping ginger ale this week, and one of the first things I nibbled on was a banana, which evidently is another one that's
oh, good potassium.
A good little
yes.
Oh, and don't forget good old food. Saltines. Mm-hmm. They only exist because of food poisoning, as far as
that's right.
As I'm concerned.
Why else would anyone eat one of those dry, dusty things? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Saltines are the exciting version of matzah. So. You know,
that's right. That's right. Yeah. Ooh, it's a wild man.
It's like the tattooed matzah.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Oh God. Jerry wrote in regarding our conversation last week about car rentals. He says there's a service called Turo, which is the exact combination of Hertz and Uber, a car sharing marketplace. My concern being it's the negative sides of Hertz and Uber combined.
The worst. It's the worst yeah. of both worlds. Sure. Sure.
I did take a look at the page. I don't know if I would do that. It's basically people putting up their own cars. Like, it's weird.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I have seen that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not going to dip my toe there, I don't think. But
the thing I've
might
seen
get a
about
fungal infection,
that,
that's why.
Where I've considered something like Turo is... There are times when I've thought to myself, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have a Porsche 911 to drive around in this weekend?
Right.
I don't want to own one. And I don't
want to
borrow one.
My high school reunion's coming up and I kind of want
right,
to show up
right,
in style.
Exactly. It's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, totally. This is my car.
But the funny thing is, again, going back to services that probably only exist in Los Angeles, there are no lack of rental places that have Bugattis, Lamborghinis, Porsches.
Yes. Right. Well, I see them every time I go to Las Vegas. Of course, they're all over the place there. And it's also one of those things where I'm not sure I want to borrow one from a friend because I do have friends who have fancy cars and things like that. But I'd just be afraid that I would either do something bad or wear it out in some strange way and, you know,
right.
I'd affect my friendship. So sometimes a rental car is just the way to go. And some of these things like Turo, I think they cater to that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Insurance and being able to give it back without ruining a friendship is definitely a plus for sure.
Yeah. Well, shall we talk Mandalorian? I know I saw it on the list of media candy, but
yeah, we were waiting to see if you were caught up. So.
I am caught up. Yes, okay. I caught up last night, so I am all the way caught up. So far,
it is
so
a
good.
Different show
think?
Now.
How do you mean that?
It is no longer a Western about the lone Mandalorian with his charge. It is definitely the story of the Mandalorians. They need to add mm-hmm. an S to the end of the title at this point. But I'm all for mm-hmm. it. I'm loving it. It's great.
I'm enjoying it too.
Yeah.
It's interesting how this show has evolved and continues to evolve and touches so many parts of the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it.
Yeah.
I'm happy without movies right now.
Me as well. I don't even want a movie, especially if it's not from if it's coming from the directors that are being tipped right now, none of which I think are going to give a compelling story. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I like the show a lot. I can't wait to see where it goes. We're not even, what are we, 4 or 5 episodes in now? So we're not
five,
even
I think,
halfway five or... through, maybe.
Yeah.
Ish. So we'll see. I think it's very, very good.
Yeah. What do you think, Jason?
I don't know where they're going with the whole Grogu story, though. He's just kind of a bit player now.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I guess it is called The Mandalorian, not Grogu.
Right, right. Well, he was the breakout character and the applied to every T-shirt in the world. But so
and,
they can't do away with him.
Don't forget the Chia Pets.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah,
I'm digging it, though. I like it. I like the change. I like that they're moving along and evolving the story, not just doing the same story over and over again. So
mm-hmm. It was also really nice to have basically a straight up full on action episode. Like it was mm-hmm. just battle and fights, and it was great. So
yeah. My son was asking, because we were talking about how now it's inevitable that Grogu will get his own little Mandalorian helmet, which is going to be adorable. And like, are his ears going to poke out of the sides, or, you know, who knows?
God, I hope
are
so.
They
going to
are they going to find a way to put little metal Fox ears on the side?
Fox metal ears, yeah.
Right. Probably. But he brought up an interesting question, which is, as far as we know, are all Mandalorians that we've seen so far humanoid?
Yes.
So Grogu would be the first.
I believe so, because they're all mm-hmm. from the same planet, right? They're all from Mandalore. So the Mandalorians are from Mandalore, and that's that. So,
but our Mandalorian isn't, right? He was a foundling. Is he from Mandalore?
Ooh, that's a fair point.
Yeah. They do pick him up as they go, so.
Hmm. Right. It's just okay. We haven't seen any other aliens, and it's possible that there's somebody underneath one of those helmets that is, and maybe we'll find out about that. But it seems like Grogu is the first real departure from a humanoid Mandalorian.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We'll see.
Eagle eye on that kid you got there.
he's definitely that kid. Yeah, he is definitely that kid who thinks through all the possibilities. Yeah, it's fun.
All right. Well, we actually do have some security news in here in case we weren't going to go on for 30 minutes on basically pooping and vomiting at the same time, which we haven't. So,
speaking of the dark side.
Yes, I did see this. The Biden administration is banning federal agencies from using commercial spyware, which mm-hmm. I think is a long time coming and I think we're all on board with. The order applies to all departments, including those involved in law enforcement, defense, and intelligence. It prohibits use of spyware in the past was used to disclose non-public information about the U.S. government. It does not provide a list of affected spyware vendors, but one assumes it's going to be the big ones like the NSO Group and Citrox and all that sort of stuff. So a step in the right direction, I guess. We'll at least publicly say we're not using this and let our black ops continue to do so.
Yeah, Ben Yellen and I talked about this week on Caveat. It was Ben's main story, and his take on it seems to be that this is more than anything probably a diplomatic statement of us taking a leadership position globally. And because just the past couple of days, President Biden had there was some summit on for democracy, something like that.
Yeah.
And so this allows him to say, we as a nation are taking this position that spyware is bad. The fact of the matter is there are enough loopholes in this thing to drive a Mack truck through. So it's more of a aspirational statement of intentions than something real.
Kind of like a, come on, guys, let's all stop using this. We'll stop.
Yeah,
are you guys going to stop? Because if you don't stop, we're not going to stop.
Yeah, I think Ben was saying that there are some agencies that will likely be directly affected immediately. Like I think some of the border control agencies who use this stuff to do the things they do, they may find themselves having this tool taken away. But the presumption is that our spy organizations have their own stuff. And so this really isn't going to affect them, and nor should it for espionage. But as a policy statement, I think it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've got a little follow-up here. We talked about how this new AI voice revolution is going to be a problem for us with scams. And the FTC is finally coming out and saying, hey, guys, this is going to be a problem with scams.
Right.
Specifically, the old family member in distress scam, where you get mm-hmm. the text message or the voicemail saying, hey, I'm stuck in jail in Guatemala. Please send money now.
Right.
Now, with being able to clone someone's voice off of a very small sample, which you can get from anybody's TikTok videos or Instagram reels or basically anything anywhere, you can get somebody's voice that they can clone it and make it sound, you know, 100 times more real. Just basically giving you some advice saying, hey, if you get one of these, call them back just to make sure, you know? That's the first thing. That won't stop it if it's got, you know, if it's part of a more sophisticated attack, like they do a SIM card swap with the person that you're targeting, and they call back and then they're ready for you, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, calling them back will stop this dead in its tracks 99% of the time. So if you ever get one of these, just, you know, star 69.
Right. Oh, man, that's a deep cut.
Yeah. Oh, man, phone freaking. Speaking of the old days at Disneyland, there used to be banks of pay phones throughout Disneyland, and we definitely used to figure out we had figured out ways to do free phone calls. We had learned all the different phone codes that you could do. I miss those days. Good old days.
Yeah. When we were at Disney World, I actually have a picture of my two boys. There was a payphone, you know, in a little, you know, like where the restrooms are, you know, how they have payphones in some of those areas. There's just a picture of my two boys looking at this thing like, what is this a gag? Like, is this, you know, if I pick this up, is Mickey Mouse going to talk to me? What is this actually, you know?
This is where Superman used to go change in the 50s.
Yeah. Right. And I wonder how many these kids today, even know what a dial tone sounds like.
Oh, wow.
My son was so confused when we put after we moved here, we just don't, you know, I haven't had a landline for ages, and we didn't even have one in Santa Monica anymore. But after we came here, we decided, well, we might as well just get one of the digital voice over IP landlines. So, you know, if Lucas is home, we can teach him how to call for something because he doesn't have a cell phone. And it took a while to explain to him that this is also a phone.
right.
Like, the shape is weird. What do you mean it's connected to the, and then what? Huh? That's a He's phone? It doesn't look anything. I can't look at pictures.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be staring at it, yelling at it, Alexa, call the police. Alexa, pretty call
much,
the police.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it goes back to, I think we've talked about this here before about the legacy of why is it when you end a phone call, you say you're going to hang up?
Yeah. Exactly.
Kids don't know what that means today because they didn't have phones that hung on the wall, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They're going to hang up. Let me hang up.
Or dial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, man. I saw two things this week. One, this damn Fire TV, even though it's turned off, I was reading an audiobook and there was a callback to Alexa in it. And then I just kept hearing this ding every time I'd say it. I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on here? I'm looking at all the apps on my computer, looking at my phone. And it turns out it was the damn TV that was off. That was saying, hey, what do you want? I'm like, I want you to shut the hell up. So I had to finally turn it off.
So, Jason, I have an idea about this FTC thing with the voice scammers. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe for next week's show, if we can get around to it, you and I should each, independently of each other, create robo soundboards of ourselves.
Okay.
Right? So just come up with a collection of automated responses in a soundboard of things that we think are going to be the most useful generic things, and then we can have them, maybe we'll do an experiment, we'll have them talk to each other, we'll control them.
All right, I will try to run the show and you guys will use nothing but your two soundboards.
Right.
Okay. We'll see how awesome it'll be.
Right.
I've just got a pretty good – I actually have a paid account at 11 Labs now, and I've got a really good voice going on there. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mine's pretty good, but it's pretty flat. Yeah, mine's pretty flat. But we'll see what happens with it. It might be fun. So maybe we'll do that next week.
Okay. Right. That's homework. We're generally not good at that, but we'll try.
I know. Well, I'm not putting a hard deadline on it. I'm just saying, you know, maybe if we get around to it, maybe it'll happen.
Well, I'm adding it to things here, so.
There you go.
Try not to tell me when you guys are doing it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely not. Yeah.
Finally, I went down a little bit of a rat hole this week. I don't really remember what led me to it, but I ended up chasing down an arcade game, an old, original, first-generation arcade game based on very little more than a sense memory that I had. Mm-hmm. And this sense memory I had was from I was probably 9 or 10 years old, and I remember for some reason my family was on a road trip somewhere, and we were staying in a hotel somewhere, and the hotel had a a pool and a little game room. And by game room, I think they had two video games and a pinball machine, right?
Right.
And I remember one of the games was Space Invaders. Mm-hmm. And this is when Space Invaders was brand new. And the other game was what I was trying to figure out what this thing was. And I have this sense memory of this particular sound effect. I had a sense memory of a certain kind of movement. I remembered it was a vector game. And I remembered that it was a Star Wars ripoff. But it wasn't Star Wars.
Right.
And this would have been probably around 1978 or so. So this was the first run of Space Invaders, and this particular game was also new in the arcades. And what it led me to was a game called Starhawk. Now, are either of you have any – do you have any recollection of Starhawk?
No.
None.
I vaguely remember playing some vector-based game, but I remember it rotated around in a circle. I can't even remember what that was called, but yeah, I don't remember this one, no. But okay. I can see these pseudo TIE fighters in these images.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So Starhawk, which came out in 78, and of course, probably the most well-known vector arcade game is Star Wars, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
that's just a classic.
That, yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
is a great game, right? And mm-hmm. and they really hit it out of the park with that one for what they were capable of doing at the time. So this was way before that and really was just ripping off the Star Wars Trench Run.
Mm-hmm. Brian,
not a great
way,
game.
You're thinking of Tempest, by the way, Brian.
Tempest, yes, that was it. Perfect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. Tempest was a great game. So this game, Starhawk, was ripping off the Star Wars Trench Run. Basically, this trench is scrolling by, and every now and then spaceships come by, and you have to shoot them. And one of the spaceships looks just like a TIE fighter.
I was going to say, looks surprisingly like a TIE fighter.
Yeah. As far as we know, they never got a cease and desist from Lucasfilm, but who knows? So anyway, I was able to track down this game, and sure enough, it's a rare game today. I'll include a link to a YouTube video from a guy who restored one. It's remarkably handmade. He goes into how just shitty the joystick controller is on it. But this led me down a little Space Invaders rat hole because Space Invaders was the other game sitting next to us. And this was the time. So I don't know if you guys remember, like, your parents would give you a dollar and say, go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd play four video games, right? That's what you did. And you'd come back 10 minutes later and they'd say, where's your dollar? And you'd say, well, I spent it on video games.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went down this Space Invaders rat hole, one thing I learned was Space Invaders was the first game that didn't have a timer built in of this kind of shoot 'em up game. And Starhawk has a timer. It's like a 2-minute timer. And if you get a certain number of points, then you get an extra 20 seconds or an extra 30 seconds. But Space Invaders was the first game that did not have a timer that let you play until you lost all your lives. But right. then also it was the first game that had a soundtrack that was independent of sound effects. The little I think it's like a D minor chord or something. It's like the dum 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 dum
yep.
dum. It gets faster and faster and faster. I also learned that the whole thing with Space Invaders, where they get faster and faster and faster, that was an unintended side effect of the way the game was programmed. They didn't design that into the gameplay at first, but the system that they were using, the fewer Space Invaders it had to draw, the faster they could
faster
move. Right.
That's awesome.
And they were, and they were like, well, this works. This this is fun. And that's why it is that way. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Amazing.
So
that's amazing. So, you know, you're just making me go back to my early days in arcades. And actually, it's funny because you would have been at Disneyland a little bit after my purview there if you went, you know, 29-ish years ago with your wife. That was shortly after I would have stopped going to Disneyland. So I wonder if the arcade was still there. There used to be a massive arcade just to the right of Space Mountain.
And yes.
I spent much of my childhood right there.
Uh-huh.
And I played an awful lot of Spy versus Spy, which was my favorite game at that point.
Oh,
so,
yes. That's interesting.
Oh boy, I sunk a lot of money there.
Okay.
I don't remember the Spy versus Spy game. I remember Spy Hunter.
Or Spy Hunter. Yeah. Sorry, Spy Hunter.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Spy Hunter was one of my, I would say, if I had a list of video games I wish I owned, a sit-down Spy Hunter would be near the top of the list.
Oh, probably they had that at Disneyland, and I sat down a lot.
Yeah. Sit-down Star Wars would be another one. Mm-hmm.
The sit-down Star Wars was my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh.
So good. So good.
And if anybody wants to go back to the archives of Grumpy Old Geeks, look for the episode with Mark Cantor where he talks about working with Henry Mancini on the soundtrack for Spy Hunter.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is classic. Such a good one. There is a YouTube video that has the entire soundtrack from beginning to end of the Spy Hunter game. And sometimes I just listen to it because it's so good. So good. Yeah.
Oh, man. I miss arcade games.
We're old.
Yeah.
We are, but you know what? Those were good times though. I mean, it's a different thing in the kids. It's funny. I was my youngest son Jack is playing lacrosse right now. He's on the JV lacrosse team, and we were at a lacrosse game, and I was sitting talking with one of the other parents, and we were comparing notes on our spring break plans, and she said, the kids are all just going to put their headsets on and yell at their friends over video games, which is what they all seem to do these days. But
yeah.
Yeah, going the ritual of going to the arcade, something that a certain generation I think cherishes, and
very much so.
I wonder what is there equivalent to that today?
No, they sit on the couch and they're playing everything on their phones. So
yep. Mm-hmm. Or in there, like now I got my PS5 and I play Call of Duty at night, and it's like playing a movie. You know, it's crazy how good it is. So right, I can see why they would never want to go anywhere else to play.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering where. Right. I mean, is that a type of socialization that is just gone?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
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 No, they're never going to know putting your quarter on the glass to be next up.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
That's
right. The other thing is
learning everybody's three-letter codes for
well, when
remember the high
how scores. Many how many video game machines had like burn marks in the plastic from people when you could smoke in arcades.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? People would lay their cigarettes on the sides of the machines and burn a hole in them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm nostalgic now.
I sense rabbit holes in my future this evening.
There you go.
Closing shout outs.
Over at Patreon, we've got new member Nadev. So welcome very much. And everybody, patreon.com/GOG. Get the show early and high res.
That's right. And over at PayPal, we've got Charlie, Matthew, Judge, Simon, Matt, and Jonathan. Thank you all so much.
Yep. Over at the tip jar, we've got Adam, Ashley, and Stan for a big $40. Woohoo. Thank you, Stan.
Thank you.
And a shout out to show fan Jackal. He sent me a video on Twitter about his stroke recovery and getting out of bed on his own now. So good for you, man. Keep it up. Keep it up. I know how hard it is. I know it's very hard. And you're way worse than I was. So I'm proud of you. Keep going. And sadly, in memoriam, Gordon Moore, the coiner of the term Moore's Law, passed away at 94.
Yep. Yep.
Turns out, reading his bio, he was a problematic kind of guy. So,
he was a shit disturber.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not the nicest guy out there. But yeah. There you go. 94. Good run.
Nice women don't make history. Isn't that the saying? We don't have genders anymore, right? Yeah.
No, yeah, that's right. That's okay. Right. Yes. Until next time, I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister. Thanks for listening to Grumpy Old Geeks. If you enjoy the show, visit gog.show/donate to help us keep the lights on, and we'll love you forever. You can also help us out by sharing the show with your friends and enemies. It's easy and absolutely free. Show notes for this episode are at gog.show/595. From there, you can find links to everything we talked about in this episode, as well as links to our swag and Discord channel if you want to buy some stuff or chat with us and other show fans. You can also head over to gog.show/contact and send us your feedback or questions that we can read on the air. And if you're so inclined, please head over to gog.show/review and toss us a snarky review and preferably 5 stars. Stay grumpy.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.